of Romans, chapter 5. Romans, chapter 5. This is a portion that I have been referring to for some time, and it's a very vast subject, and I like to just keep bringing new information, new revelations that the apostles have put before us in the Bible. Verse 12, chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And then let's go to verse 19. In between is the same basically idea. And, well, let's look at verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. I have mentioned in the past, in some of the messages, that all human beings are born in sin. Sinners by nature and sinners by practice. But even in this condition, we have heard this morning, later prayer meeting, and also I may try to go over some of those thoughts, and also during the Sunday school, there's an offer of salvation to everyone who is born in sin. People talk about racial things and racial this and the different backgrounds, different countries, different civilizations, different cultures. My answer is, and I tell people, there's only one race. There's only one race, and that's the human race. All are descendants of Adam. And David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, we are born sinners in Adam, but also, believe it or not, as much as we love our parents, we have that nature from them also. We're born in sin. Did my mother conceive me? Of course, that was not the case about the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was conceived of the Holy Ghost. So, we're all sinners coming down from Adam, but thank God we don't have to die in Adam. So there's two ways. We're either in Adam, die and go to hell, stay in Adam, or in Christ, by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior and Lord. So verse 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man, the Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. When Adam's sin was attended with dismal consequences. And what were those consequences? So the origin of moral evil comes from man, not from God. Some people have perverted lives, and they say, well, this is the way I was born, and this is the way God made me. I say, no, God didn't make you that way. Your parents did make you that way. And going back to Adam, sin into the world, and there are consequences of sin. And what are the consequences? The consequences of sin is that we are born in sin, and we, of course, practice sin willingly. All evil followed upon the fall of Adam, our first father. And, the death, of course, is the wages of sin. And here are the wages, a temporal death, spiritual death, and eternal death. Born in sin, born guilty and corrupted. And of course, death is the wages of sin, as I mentioned. But then thank God, verse 19 says, Paul adds, for by one man's disobedience, that's Adam again, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, that's Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. Many be made righteous. Now, I would like to say something here just to remind us and to kind of emphasize the fact that salvation today is individual. Salvation is not for everybody who doesn't want to be saved. The only reason I am saved by God's grace and love is because I wanted to be saved. I was convicted of sin when I was a kid. I knew that if I died in my sins, I would die and go to hell, and there I'm going to be for eternity to come. And then one day, I was not only convicted, but then I confessed my sins to the Lord that has died for my sins, and then I received the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart and accepted Him as Lord and Savior. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins that we may be able to receive Him as our own personal Savior and Lord and be in Him, be saved, and be a part of His family. So, on these two men and the eternal destiny of every human being that even ever lives on this planet, on this earth. Human nature is simple, but thank God that we're justified in the Spirit. And then, of course, we're justified in the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's amazing that as sinful as we were, God so loved us. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So God loved us and gave His Son a propitiation, God's satisfying sacrifice concerning sin. So that in the cross and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God may be just and the justifier of him that believes in Jesus. So the reality of the atoning work of Christ is made sure. It's made sure now. So here we have this gospel in the gospel, and then of course the apostles are being driven, and it's the constant voice of the apostolic teaching how we are reconciled to God by the death of His Son. The only way to be reconciled with God is because of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on our behalf. By His shed blood, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And it's that blood that cleanses us from sin. So they kept preaching in Romans 5:9, we are justified through His blood. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that has the power to cleanse. We have redemption through His blood, Ephesians 1:7. By His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Eternal redemption from sin, eternal redemption from the Lord, eternal redemption from death. It's an eternal redemption. Thank God He sent eternal redemption. Once we are saved, we are always saved. We are saved eternally. Does that mean that we can go and sin? Well, like Linnea said, once I got saved, my taste changed. I abhor sinning. I abhor sinning. And the man says, you need to tell me, once I receive the Lord Jesus Christ, I could still go on sinning and still be saved? My answer is no and yes. No, because if your intent is to kind of mock the Lord Jesus Christ and try to deceive him, you could not be deceived, and just say, well, Lord, yeah, I accept you as my Savior, but then your intent is to go on sinning. No, because then it's not true repentance. True repentance is, I am a simple man, O Lord, and I don't deserve any of your grace and mercy. Please come into my heart and save me from this wickedness. Get me out of my condition, my sinful condition. I repent. I am so sorry that I have offended you. Then you could get saved. So, the blood of Jesus Christ, he shall cleanse us from all sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree. So now, once we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior and Lord, then the apostles keep going on and developing and developing and developing further about all the wonderful privileges that God gives us. So, we are reconciled to God by the death of his Son. He shed blood. And when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior and Lord, because of the merit of his saving, of his death, we are reconciled to God by the death of his Son. They go on to say in Galatians 3, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. So now we are reconciled. He is God who was far, who was so distant. And now he was reconciled to him. And so this continued progress, as the apostles go on preaching and revealing to us the revelation that God had shown them as they went on to be preaching. So another thing is, we read that he, God, to bring through this salvation, he made the Lord Jesus Christ sin for us, who knew no sin, that he might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is one of the fantastic verses that I have ever come across. Of course, there's so many other fantastic verses. This is one of them. And it's the hardest thing, one of the hardest things for me to try to logically comprehend. Logically, I say logically comprehend. I take it as a fact because God said so. He made him to be sin for us. It defies my attempt of explanation. First of all, that God should make Christ to be a sacrifice for sin. His Son, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That he, God, would make Christ to be a sacrifice for sin. And of course, this was prophetic. We heard about all the sacrifices in the Old Testament. Thousands upon hundreds of thousands and maybe millions of sacrifices that were offered to God in the Old Testament. And these sacrifices were just offered continually. There were five different types of sacrifices. And within each type, you had burnt offering, sin offering, trespass, and so on, meal and peace, and so on. But within each type, there were different things involved for sacrifice. And as George Wesley was explaining some of the sacrifices, but and that was amazing because I was reviewing, going over Leviticus this week, and I was so touched every time I read about the sacrifices. And just for that, let's just go to Leviticus chapter 1. Leviticus chapter 1. Leviticus chapter 1. And here, the first seven chapters of Leviticus talks about the sacrifices, different sacrifices. And indeed, by studying this, we have a better appreciation of how to truly, truly worship God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, the first sacrifice here in Leviticus 1 mentioned is the burnt offering. The burnt offering, and it goes and describes about the different animals that could be sacrificed. But then here's, look at verse 14. And if the burnt sacrifice for his offering to the Lord be of fowls, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or of young pigeons. Now, pay attention to this. This is very, very moving. Of course, all the sacrifices are moving. You have sheep, you have goats, you have oxen, and just, you know, everything. And the way they were sacrificed, the way they were killed, the way they were cut to pieces and put on fire. And here, burnt offering is an essential offering, and it brings pleasure to God. But look at this. So here you have turtle doves and young pigeons. Okay, now, and the priest. Now, here's what's going to happen to these turtle doves or young pigeons. And the priest shall bring it unto the altar, okay, and wring off his head. Is this poor pigeon or bird? Turtle dove, they're all pigeons in the pigeon family, and in the Middle East, there are a lot of pigeons, by the way. Very common. The priest takes this harmless pigeon that doesn't defend himself or herself, rings off his head, and burns it on the altar. Here's the head of this poor pigeon. And the blood thereof shall be wrung out at the side of the altar. And he shall pluck away his crop with his feather. Here his internals are going to be pulled, ripped. And then the feathers are going to be pulled and ripped of this, what we would call poor pigeon. And cast it beside the altar on the east part by the place of the ashes. And he shall cleave it with the wings thereof, but shall not divide it asunder, and the priest shall burn it upon the altar, upon the wood that is upon the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet savor unto the Lord. I was so moved. Does my sin cause so much? Does the extent of the love of God toward me would make him provide a sacrifice that would cost him his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? And I remember all of a sudden in Luke 2, when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, and then, of course, when the period of the mother's purification, Mary's purification came. The child had to be taken to the priest in the temple in Jerusalem before the Lord, before God, and he had to offer sacrifice. And of course, the sacrifices depend on the wealth of the person, and in this case, the parents of our Lord Jesus, he had earthly parents, Joseph and Mary did not have much. What did they offer? Either two young pigeons or two turtle doves, which are in the pigeon family. And he is the creator of the universe, who upholds of all things by the word of his power. Here he is, about 40 days old and so, and he is there present, and his sacrifice is being offered on his behalf, because he was born under the law. And what sacrifice? Two turtle doves or two young pigeons. That God should make the Lord Jesus Christ to be his sacrifice for sin. And then the other thing is, but that God should make him who knew no sin to be made sin for us. Now, here is a sacrifice for sin, but then now, here is this offering that knew no sin. The Lord Jesus Christ knew no sin. In him was no sin. He could declare, so which of you persuade me, or could convince me, or convict me of sin? Nobody could. Even wicked people could not. Even the devil could not. And yet, not only was he going to be an offering for our sins, but that he who knew no sin was to be sin for us. And that's what the verse is saying in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Now, doesn't that baffle all explanation? How? How could our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ become sin? How was it that his very soul could be made an offering for our sin? How could God, knowing what that involves, how could he make his son an offering for sin? I can't explain it. And yet it's true. Oh, what grace. The depth, the bountifulness of his grace and love toward wicked, earthly people. I cannot understand it. And yet, it's because of the extent of the love of Christ and God. And it's because of his wanting to bring man back to himself. It's because he wants that devil who deceived man to be defeated. And his whole plan of salvation is just a parenthesis. And nothing in the whole universe is going to disrupt the original purpose of God towards his creatures. So here, it means that the Lord Jesus Christ had to become sin for us who knew no sin. But then, here we have another revelation that the apostles keep making. They just keep on and on in the epistles. They keep going and telling us all the privilege that we have. And that is this. But we may in him be made the righteousness of God. That's beyond my understanding. How is it that sin wholly characterizes me? I was born in sin from Adam. I have practiced sin. And yet, because of the salvation that God has provided through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and upon my receiving him as my own personal Savior and Lord, I become the righteousness of God. Sinner on the way to hell and the Lord's eternity, eternally, upon receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior and Lord, I am declared to be the righteousness of God. So, we may be in him the righteousness of God. Sin only characterizes me. And all that we are is sin. And, of course, that's what he was made. What characterizes fallen human beings? Sin. He was made sin. But then, righteousness wholly, completely characterized him. That's what characterized him. He was the righteousness of God. And that's what he is. The righteousness of God. He's right. Anything that is right. And that's what he is. But that's what we are made in Christ. Whatever his character, his true character is, that is the righteousness of God. What is right with God is in the person of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All perfections, everything. Upon receiving him as our own personal Savior and Lord, that's what we become. His grace is established on the foundation of righteousness. His righteousness, which is imparted to us. And let me just quote that again. God has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So now, another extension, another progress, and that is this. So now when God looks at believers, the other thing is in 1 Corinthians 1:30, he sees us found in Christ. Found in Christ. We're justified. We're found in Christ. We're justified from all our sins. That's one of the reasons I basically went to 4:14 of the red book. Yea, justified. Oh, blessed soul. And sanctified salvation by blood that brought pardon for me. And glorified, I too shall be justified. I am entitled because of the merit of the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because of the value, because of the pleasure that his death brought to God. I am entitled to eternal life and happiness in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am made kings and priests by his grace and love. No merit in me whatsoever. You go and tell a priest that. You go and tell a pastor that. A full-time pastor who thinks he's the only one who's going to get up and preach. We are made priests. Holy priesthood. Royal priesthood. Kings and priests. We could bring worship and adoration and service to God. Every one of us, male and female, some quietly, some audibly. Kings and priests, we are rooted, we are built up, we are made perfect in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because we are made righteous as he is. We think, hopefully, we speak, we walk in Christ. Oh, sometimes our weakness may show up, like Peter said, as we were hearing that Peter. Here, he could confess the greatest confessions, that was he Christ, the Son of the living God, and then in a few hours, you know, a few days or a few, sometime later, here during the arrest of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is cursing and he is swearing that he doesn't know the man. But here, we have faith, hope, love, joy. Our whole life is in Christ, in Christ, in us. We think, as I said, speak, walk in Christ, labor, suffer, sorrow. A lot of people Well, today a lot of Christians are suffering for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We sorrow because we're Christians, and yet we rejoice because of Christians. This week I was talking to a lady, a Jewish lady, and I have talked to her many, many times, and she has indicated in the past she enjoys talking with me, and every time I talk, I bring Christ. Every time I talk, I bring Christ. But she's always interested in other things, how great she is and how intelligent she is, and people are jealous of her and so on. And I keep telling her, you need Christ. And this last time, a few days ago, come here, as soon as she sees me. So here I went, yes, and she was telling me. And then she told me, she said, you know, she said, I know, I have demons in me. I said, well, hold on. I said, if you have demons in you, I said, don't ever think that you could get rid of it. The only person that you need to get rid of the demons is the Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior, Jesus Christ. And she said, don't tell me about Jesus. I don't want to hear about Jesus. Don't ever tell me about Jesus. I turned around and walked off. That's it. Walked off. We sorrow. We suffer. Well, not as the Lord suffered, but then, of course, you know, somebody tells you off, and you're basically kind of you feel sorry, and yet we rejoice because we're Christians. All the promises are ours. We die in Christ. We sleep in Jesus. This dead person is sleeping. And then, of course, when Christ appears, we shall appear with him. We shall rule with him. We're kings and priests. We shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. By one Christ Jesus. Oh, we are in him, in Christ. In Christ. Now, just a few minutes. I want to just go on, just continue just a little bit. So there's no condemnation. And as I mentioned, we are righteous in the righteousness of Christ. But then, here's another one. We are sons of God as his sonship. It was the Son of God. The Son of God that takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God. The Son of God. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we experience the sonship of God because of his sonship. We become heirs with him of his inheritance. Everything he has, we're going to share. Brothers and sisters, it's humanly speaking, it's even hard to believe because I'm so undone. I'm a man of unclean lips and dwell among the people of unclean lips because, of course, like Isaiah, I have seen by faith the glory of God. Oh, the goodness of God and the mercy of God. So, and then, of course, believers are in Christ and Christ in us. And here again, I am in Christ. Thank God. I cannot be removed at all. But then Christ is in me as well. And then the question is, how much room do I give Christ? Seeing what I have in the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing what I was and what I am in him now. Not eternal death, but eternal life. Eternal happiness being with him. Christ in me, how much room do I give him? How much do I let him to control my life and to lead me and guide me? We are in Christ, and of course, Christ is in us. We partake in all that he does. We're going to rule with him. He's going to lead us. He does lead us. We partake in all that he has. And we partake in all that he is. I've covered righteousness. I've covered his sonship. And by God, God's grace and love will cover us even more. So we died with him. We rose with him. We live with him. And in him, we are seated in heavenly places now. Positionally, we are seated with him in heavenly places. When God sees us, he sees us seated in the person of his Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Fully declared to be righteous, fully justified, fully sanctified, even though that's a day to come. And yet we have it now, brothers and sisters. And next time in the will of the Lord, I'm going to continue as the apostles declared that we are truly sons. We own God now as our Father. We call him Father. Can you imagine how sweet that is? We call him Father. Yes, Father. So thankful and grateful. And now we can even call you Father. Yes, justified. Yes, sanctified. Yes, one day we will be glorified, and yet it's our position now as we look forward to it. Declared to be righteous, declared to be your sons, your daughters. Thank you, Lord. We'll just give you thanks. And now, Heavenly Father, who would take these words that you have given us, Lord, before us, and that we would think and meditate and live by these words, and love you, Lord, and worship and adore you and praise you as long as we have breath to live. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks.